Welcome to This is Robotics, radio news, podcasting news and commentary from around the world. Please join us for today's radio news report with your host, Tom Green, for news, analysis, and commentary from the wide world of robotics. Radio News is a production of Asian Robotics Review, your most trusted news resource in global robotics. And now, here's Tom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Robotics. I'm Tom Green, your host for this episode, and your fellow companion on one of the most incredible journeys in human history, robotics. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Here we are at our favorite place, where we are every month, the last week of the month. It's a great place to be, to look back at the month that just happened, and to look ahead at the future. And March is one of the wildest, most incredible months of the year. Welcome to the March episode of This is Robotics. Welcome, dear March, and the myriad things observed or celebrated in the fascinating month of March. March Madness in basketball. Women's History Month, Texas Independence Day, Purim, Ramadan, White Day, which is exactly the opposite of Red Day, a Valentine's Day, which is 30 days previous. White Day celebrated in Japan, Taiwan, and Korea. Then there's National Proposal Day. Yep, you guessed it. It's what millions do. Ask, will you marry me? There's also World Water Day, a day for clean water for a healthy world. Then there's World Poetry Day. So March 20th, that was the first day of spring, 5:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I live, spring rolled in. It's that time of year when the ground begins to thaw, birds return, and many vendors introduce their outdoor robots. Outdoors meaning robots for backyards, construction sites, farms, and major infrastructure projects, most everywhere. In the springtime, lots and lots of spring robots come out. In short, it's springtime for robots. In honor of March, we'll review some of these new spring robots for 2023. Then we're off to Korea, as Korea makes its $177 billion move at becoming a robotics kingpin. Korea will be trying to become the third or fourth largest producer of robots worldwide, as well as making a strong move on leadership in artificial intelligence. Big things are happening in Korea, and robotics will be a direct beneficiary of Korea's remarkable plan for AI leadership, not only in East Asia, in Asia, but the entire globe. Our last two segments for this episode ask the question, what happened? In 1983, the United States had 50-plus manufacturers of industrial robots. Today, there are zero. As in none. Americans are left to assembling other people's robots. Even though the U.S. invented robots, none are made here. Except, of course, in 2015, ABB, that's the Swedish conglomerate, put a plant in Michigan and enlarged it, put $20 million into it. They actually make robots. Everywhere else in the United States, we assemble. Americans invented the robot, and now we're a bunch of assemblers. So even though the U.S. invented, what's happening? Why did that happen? What has that meant for American manufacturing today? Will America's logistics robots go the same way as the industrial robot? Another big question to ask is, between 2000 and 2010, the U.S. lost one-third of its manufacturing jobs. The U.S. remains the second largest manufacturing country in the world, but its global dominance has been well and truly lost. What happened? And is the decline a harbinger of what generative AI might do in the very near future? We'll drop in on the leadership of DHL, a company that ships 5 billion packages annually, and see what they say about the situation. Okay, let's get on with the news. There's a major growth spurt ahead for Korean robotics. From 2023 to 2026, Korea could leapfrog competition through the integration of robotics, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and ICT, with an investment that's coming from the government of $177 billion. Korea, 51 million citizens, with the fourth largest economy in Asia, 10th worldwide, announced in July of 2020 its national strategy for a great transformation, the Korean New Deal. As then-President Moon commented, the Korean New Deal will set the foundation for Korea's next 100 years. I don't know about 100 years, but when it comes to robotics and AI, Korea's looking like it'll end up as the king of Asia for a mighty long time. This past December and February of 2023, Asian Robotics Review put together a two-part report on Korea covering its robotics, its pursuit of artificial intelligence, and how Korea will converge AI with robotics. Please check out the article links in our show notes for this episode of This is Robotics. Ongoing throughout all of 2023, we'll be following Korea very, very closely, so hang with us. Here's an interesting perspective on what AI and Korea have in common.
In our view, artificial intelligence, robots, and related solutions are not just new gadgets, but key technologies to support humans, said Jae Myung Hong, senior engineer in LG's Smart Solutions division. In some cases, robots may perform jobs that are too dangerous or too complicated for regular workers. Koreans have always recognized a certain necessity, too. After the Korean War, which ended in 1953, the country's government set out to pull itself out of poverty by putting its manufacturing sector front and center. That precipitated the need to develop high-tech innovation and a highly skilled workforce, both of which helped make South Korea the economic success story it is today. Indeed, South Korea has ranked as the world's most innovative economy for the past 4 years in a row, according to the Bloomberg Innovation Index, and the country spent more than any other on research and development in 2014. When measured by share of GDP, reports the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Tech-savvy, community-minded, and intensely pragmatic, Koreans might be more eager than many markets, then, to view artificial intelligence as part of the solution, not the problem. Instead of worrying about an AI apocalypse, they're figuring out how robots can make their lives better, helping to solve a vast range of social troubles from the very small to the large and looming. LG, for example, is working to develop more and more types of robots that can optimize both the home, from autonomous lawnmowers to smart appliances, and beyond. Our goal is to identify areas where automated devices can add the most value, said Hong, who expects some of the company's robots to be ready for commercial release within the next 1 to 2 years. Future applications of robotics innovation could also make it possible for South Korea to not only replace a workforce that's rapidly aging and retiring, but also care for it.
In short, it's best to keep an eye on Korea. There are two in-depth reports waiting for you in show notes, so take a look and be amazed. Korea is on the rise. Each month we partner with Robotique to do a blog called What's New in Robotics, an abbreviated version we bring to you on This is Robotics each and every month. Thank you, Robotique, the company that lets you elevate your workforce with easy-to-use cobot solution. Let the cobots do the work for you. News for March takes a look at outdoor robots that are sprouting up in springtime. There are lots of them. We've been a bit selective. We've chosen robots made of DeWalt nail guns that shingle roofs, grass-cutting robots specializing in solar farms, automated robot pile drivers powered by the sun, and an autonomous, all-electric AI baby carriage. It's March, and that's when spring comes. Actually, March 20th at 5:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I live, in the city of Boston. It's that time of year when the ground begins to thaw, birds return, and many vendors introduce their outdoor robots. Outdoors meaning robots for backyards, construction sites, farms, and major infrastructure projects, most everywhere. In short, it's springtime for robots. How about robot roofers? If winter was rough on roofing shingles and summer all may need replacement, there's a new robot at the ready, introduced March 2nd from Renovate Robotics. The device, a line of DeWalt nail guns, snaps to the roof and moves along its surface on its XY axes, powered by a winch. As it moves along, it places shingles in position and nails them down. The roofing system requires an operator to monitor the progress of the work, and several others in place to set up, monitor, and feed the system roofing materials. The global roofing market, at a compound annual rate of 6.3, the roofing market size is expected to grow to $193 billion by 2027. So, the $1.2 million that Renovate Robotics just got from VCs has a chance of flourishing and scaling. Solar farms need robots to trim the grass. Every solar farm, and there are 2,500 in the U.S. alone, needs a bit of lawn care. Otherwise, they risk being overgrown by grass, which can impair their efficiency. Not much forethought was put into grass maintenance when the solar farms were built, some as many as 20 years ago. Enter Swap Robotics from Kitchener, Ontario, with its Swap mowers. The solar market is a beachhead market for us, says founder and CEO Tim Lichty. Solar vegetation cutting solves a massive problem for customers since cutting grass and vegetation is the biggest ongoing expense once utility-scale solar installations are built. At 100% electric, his mowers can operate 24/7, making them attractive to buyers in a global market forecast to grow in the tens of billions of dollars by 2030. How about this one? A solar-powered, pile-driving robot. Well, it's spring, you know, gotta drive some piles in. Springtime thaw in the Northern Hemisphere is a great time to drive 16-foot steel I-beams into the earth. It takes lots of piles to secure buildings, bridges, and wind farms, etc., before any construction begins. It's a dull, thankless, but necessary part of most any construction project. Boom, boom, boom. The bored pile driver operator sits there through all these vibrations day after day after day as the I-beams are sunk. San Francisco-based Built Robotics, founded in 2016, a developer of construction robots, has a solution to the dull, boring, necessary pile driving job. A robot pile driver. The RPD-35, a fully autonomous, solar-powered pile-driving robot. Construction is a potential automation arena ripe for robotics, says TechCrunch writer Bill Heater. One of the most remarkable things about construction robotics is the sheer breadth of tasks that can potentially be automated. Bill's RPD-35 system adds a lot of pluses to just driving I-beams. Going well beyond pile driving, the RPD-35 combines all the steps in the pile driving process, from surveying to pile distribution, driving, and inspection. The RPD-35 is a single package that hits the most stringent tolerances on the market. The one package offering could be a big differentiator in the marketplace. The global pile driver market forecast of $7 billion by 2028 is up from $2 billion in 2022. That could well be a marketplace that might definitely have a place for a robot pile driving system that does it all. The robot baby carriage. What would be a new spring without new babies? Just what every parent needs is waiting for them. An autonomous baby carriage. Want to flick through your cell phone while munching on an ice cream cone? Well, CES 2023 voted it the best of this year's show. Meet Ella, an electric, self-driving AI baby stroller from Vancouver, Canada-based Glückskind. It's spelled G-L-U-X. K-I-N-D, but I guess in German it's Glückskind, that can even rock a baby to sleep, this baby carriage. As the website says, Glück means lucky, and Kind translates to child from the German. Ella is equipped, says management, with everything from autonomous driving capability, only when no child is inside, a built-in white noise machine, seriously, a white noise machine? Wow. And brake assist, as well as plenty of storage and a modular traveling system that makes connecting and disconnecting the bassinet a breeze. Major faux pas? Ella is without car seat integration, which means if you want to take your baby for a ride in the car, you'll have to find some other way to strap he or she in, because Ella is without car seat integration. Oh, man, oh, man. There's always next spring, I guess. Thank God for generative AI. It's a scare terrifying enough that even world governments will finally take action at training their populations to survive and thrive. Generative AI. Finally, America gets a wake-up call it can't snooze on. You know, it seems like every 20 years, a calamity happens with technology affecting people. In 1983, 50-plus industrial robot companies resided in the U.S. Imagine that. The United States had 50-plus industrial companies. Today, there are zero. Americans spend their time assembling other people's robots, with the exception of ABB. In 2015, ABB built a factory in Michigan, which actually made robots. This year, they added another $20 million onto it. So that's the only robot provider that actually manufactures in the United States. And we pride ourselves at ordering 50, 60,000 robots. They're all coming from overseas. Maybe we're assembling them. What if there's a supply chain snafu or a political alliance that goes against us so that we don't get any robots from Germany or Japan or Italy or China? We're on our own. What will we do? Also, between 2008, you remember 2008, between 2008 and 2023, millions lost their jobs. There was a weak response from the feds. In 1983, the Senate put out a bill that says, hey, let's spend some money and find out what the heck happened to our robots. The report came back, they did nothing. Between 2008 and 2010, we lost one-third of our industrial workforce. The government was supposed to do something about all those millions of people out of work. Virtually nothing was done. Between 2008 and 2023, millions more lost their jobs. And again, the government has shown a weak response. At the beginning of October, Meta, formerly Facebook, laid off 11,000 people. Next month, it's going to lay off another 10,000 people. That's 20,000 people. You start ticking off those kinds of numbers across the United States, and pretty soon you get to be a lot of people. So the reality of generative AI is it's a global scare that's big enough and terrifying enough that governments will think seriously this time about retraining a population to thrive in the future and not writhe in the future. I mean, during this same period of time, U.S. manufacturing output grew only a half of 1% per year between 2000 and 2007. And during the global financial crisis, 2007 to 2009, it actually fell 10%. Only in very recent years has manufacturing output returned to pre-recession levels. Similarly, U.S. productivity growth in manufacturing also hit a nadir that decade and remains at historically low levels. Beyond such eye-watering figures, the U.S. manufacturing shifts precipitated social change that altered U.S. and global politics. As Bill Bonvillian says, he's an MIT expert on innovation, Bill Bonvillian has noticed, most of the jobs that were lost were in the lower end of production, as opposed to higher skill jobs. In other words, he says, one of the main routes into American middle class just got cut off. You wonder where Trump gets all his supporters? There you go. Now, what are we going to do with generative AI? If we could just take a look back, say, at 1979, that's when the first spreadsheet came out. I remember interviewing Dan Bricklin, who invented VisiCalc. And he was going to a trade show where he was going to introduce it. And he thought he was going to be really resisted. And when I saw him after the trade show, he says, they just about ripped my clothes off. They were throwing money at me and my partner, a guy named Frankston, me and my partner, all day long. So he invented the first spreadsheet, VisiCalc. And what came from that? Lotus 1-2-3, remember that? Excel is the big surviving member of that group. And what it did was it was able to take, as Bricklin said, he said it was able to take 20 hours of a bookkeeper's time, 20 hours a week. That's half a week. 20 hours a week and reduce it into 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So as a result, 47% of the bookkeeping jobs in the United States went bye-bye. Of course, there were a lot of jobs that rose because of that, financial analyst, et cetera, et cetera. But bookkeepers went downhill. They didn't recover for a long, long while. Why is that? I asked Bricklin that. He says, well, companies invested time and money in doing financial projections with manually calculated spreadsheets. This is before VisiCalc came out. So they used manually calculated spreadsheets. And where changing a single number meant recalculating every single cell in the sheet. With VisiCalc, you could change any cell and the entire sheet would be automatically recalculated. See the time savings? See the productivity? Now, he claims that the bookkeepers were then able to spend their time doing financial analysis. I mean, how many bookkeepers are going to be doing financial analysis? All well and good if they're trained for it. And the government, of course, didn't do anything about these poor folks. You went on unemployment, you get X amount of money for 48 weeks or 42 weeks or whatever it is, and the next thing you know is you're doing another job and it's a low-end job. This persists over decades. Decades. And what happens is that's how you get your one percenters. And everybody wonders, who are these people who are attacking the Capitol building armed? That's who they are. So this time, generative AI has come along and no government can look away. Every government has to jump into something. Our point at Asian Robotics Review is the following. We think there should be a new GI Bill. The GI Bill, beginning in 1946, created America's middle class. Before that, America really had a very, very small, teeny middle class. It had a very huge blue-collar class. That's what most people were. They thought they would end their lives in that class. Coming home from World War II, they got the GI Bill, which a lot of Congress didn't want to have happen. They didn't want to give freebies away to all these people who are risking their lives to save the country. You know, the generation that we salute now, when they first came back and they were still young, they weren't getting any freebies. That had to be forced. FDR had to force that sucker through in order to get it. And when they came back, it trained 6 to 7 million people. I mean, the GI Bill was a major shot in the arm to everyone. It created America's middle class, the middle class that has thrived until lately. And we know what lately is with Congress going to sleep on most things. Here's a very interesting observation made in an interview for National Public Radio. It's by a guy named Oscar DeBach. He's the CEO of DHL. DHL is that big shipping company. They ship 5 billion packages a year. So in this interview, he'll talk about 1 hour, the 1 hour it takes to train a human being to do the job now. They've been able to wheedle down the time that somebody works in a warehouse to be able to train that person in 1 hour. Robots do everything else. So you can see by that where the end result is for human beings. They're going south fast. So what are you going to do with all these people? So DeBach has got some pretty good answers here. And then also McKinsey, an analyst at McKinsey's got some pretty good answers. And it all comes back to the government. So it isn't just Tom Green on This Is Robotics talking about GI bills and the government having to do something. Everybody is. Problem is, no one's taking action. So give a listen to this.
DHL supply chain CEO Oscar DeBach says three issues spurred an increase in robotics: the growth in e-commerce, robotics innovation, and a worker shortage. He says DHL can train new workers in an hour since robots are doing much of the work.
It used to take weeks in the past. So that's another important element as well, which makes it easier. And then the point I made about being able to cover fluctuations. If you have robotic solutions, you're also easier to cover trends of high season, low season.
DHL uses robots for picking, loading, packaging, and more. DeBach expects DHL will add more robots.
The way I always say it internally is what last year was innovation, today is standard. And that's effectively the speed within which we're moving.
According to the McKinsey Global Institute, by 2030, 14% of the global workforce may need to switch jobs because of advances in digitization, automation, and artificial intelligence. Business futurist Marvin Dijon.
So what we're really noticing now is a very nascent stage. So think of a child going from, you know, baby toddler to, you know, an adolescent stages.
He says companies are increasingly seeing value in bringing robotics into the workforce to ramp up productivity, revenue, and profit share. Dijon says upskilling and reskilling are going to be front and center in the next 3 to 5 years.
And this is where academia, corporations, and not-for-profit or public and private entities really need to start having a discussion, because this is unprecedented in our time in terms of reshifting people's skills in such a short period of time.
That was fairly informative, wasn't it? So now you know why we're saying thank God for generative AI. It's finally going to wake up a lot of countries, especially the guys sitting in Washington, D.C. So instead of putting $1 trillion into an infrastructure bill, which very little of the money is going to get into training, and low-ending all the training and manufacturing, maybe now it will go big time. Our last story for today involves machine tools. I know that doesn't sound sexy, but without machine tools, there's no advanced manufacturing. There are no robots, no automation, no factories of the future, fourth industrial revolution. In the 15th century, somebody invented a screwdriver. Shortly thereafter, somebody invented a machine that made screwdrivers. That machine was a machine that made tools. John Wilkinson made a boring machine in the Industrial Revolution in England, which made James Watt's steam engine feasible. Henry Maudslay is considered a founding father of machine tool technology. His inventions were an important foundation for the Industrial Revolution. His invention of a metal lathe to cut metal that enabled the manufacture of standard screw thread sizes was really important to the Industrial Revolution, because standard screw thread sizes, in turn, allowed interchangeable parts and the development of mass production. Machine tools, tools that make machines, are very important, and there's a lack thereof throughout the world except in three countries: Germany, China, and Japan. Now, I think everybody involved or is concerned about manufacturing should really read a very special research report put out by a group called Bismarck Analysis. It's a 17-page report. We have it on our website at Asian Robotics Review in the This is Robotics radio news section. Bismarck says of themselves, "Bismarck Analysis examines institutions, industries, and individuals on behalf of our clients. While much of our work is confidential, we occasionally make select analytical products available to the general public." They thought this one was important enough to make it available to the general public, and that's where I scooped it up. Bismarck says, "Machine tools are essential in industrial metalworking, and as a type of capital equipment, machine tool consumption is a strong indicator of overall manufacturing capacity. Production is highly concentrated, with a small number of countries producing the vast majority of precision machine tools used in advanced manufacturing worldwide. The most important machine tool manufacturers are China, Germany, and Japan. China is unique in its production because it is overwhelmingly for its own domestic manufacturing sector, whereas the other manufacturers export a substantial fraction of their equipment. Russia, the US, and the UK have all seen varying degrees of decline in machine tool production since their peaks. This occurred because production of machine tools requires substantial societal infrastructure, such as educated workers, significant capital investment. All of the successful countries have maintained clear policies that help machine tool producers, while those that have declined or failed to start significant production have not. These policies have only been successfully implemented by states with strong coordination between elites in government, business, and finance. Skilled labor is essential for machine tool production. Mechanical, electrical, and software engineering are required in the design process, and experienced technicians are needed for assembly and testing." Here's a report from the German VDMA, or Mechanical Engineering Industry Association, about the plight of the U.S. as far as machine tools go. It reports that the U.S. provided nearly 80% of the country's industrial machine needs until 1995, but by 2015 was producing only 63%. Today, it's even less, and the overall trend is, unfortunately, going down. If you want to build new production facilities in the United States, says Torsten Gedde, a manager at a German investment company, a large part of the machinery and technology has to be imported because local alternatives are rarely available. To that sorry tale, the Wall Street Journal adds, in the 1980s, as U.S. manufacturing slumped, almost 7 of 10 American machine tool companies closed due to falling demand. The decline continued this century as U.S. manufacturers outsourced more. It's a real eye-opening report, and I suggest that everybody get a chance to read it. It's only 17 pages long. Once again, it's you can find it at the Asian Robotics Review, This is Robotics Radio News website. It's called Machine Tools, a Study in Advanced Manufacturing by Bismarck Analysis. Great report, great reading, and very informative. Well, dear friends, we've come to the close of another This is Robotics Radio News podcast. Many thanks for coming. We sincerely hope that you enjoyed your brief stay with us, found the program interesting, and had a few takeaways that will stick in your memory banks and power your day along. Thanks also to Global Robotics for being such a wonderful source for news. As a production of Asian Robotics Review, we hope you visit the site regularly. And please, sign up for our twice-weekly newsletters. It's painless. Just your email is all we need. So long, until next time.
That brings to a close today's edition of Radio News. As always, thank you for your interest and attention. Until our next report, please be sure to click on over to This is Robotics, the online news column at Asian Robotics Review. Also, look for This is Robotics Radio News at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pandora. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, this is Radio News, signing off. Have a great day.